The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Our series about finances, and if history is any indication of the future, we probably won't be talking about this for another 4 or 5 years. Yes, Dennis. Oh, no, I didn't forget, but since you brought it up, we're going to have a meeting immediately following the services about the coffee house open mic fundraising for GLOW. It needs a better name, but that's what we're going to do, okay? So that'll be immediately following the services. You get a cup of coffee and just come back in here, and Dennis will be conducting that meeting. I thought you might appreciate this. I discovered this. There was a man who was having some very serious financial problems, and he went to his pastor and told him of all of his troubles. The pastor told him that if he would pray, then God would provide for his needs. So the man went home that night and prayed, "Dear Lord, please let me win the lottery so that I can pay all my bills. Thank you. Amen." So the lottery came and went, and the man did not win. So he went back to the pastor and asked why God hadn't answered his prayer. The pastor told him that you must have faith. If you have enough faith, then God will always answer your prayer. So the man went home and prayed even harder. "Dear Lord, please let me win the lottery. I believe that you can hear me and that you will answer my prayer. Thank you. Amen." The lottery came and went, and he still did not win. He went back to his pastor, see what a job it is being a pastor, and asked him why God had not answered his prayer. The pastor told him that if he would repent and beg God for help, he would surely help him. So he went home and started praying, "Dear God, surely you will forgive me of all my sins. I want to live for you, Lord. Just please." All of a sudden, a loud voice from heaven came, "Would you please buy a lottery ticket?" Sometimes God is waiting for us to take the necessary action so that He can bless us. Now, buying a lottery ticket is not one of those actions, but it does make the point. I thought it was very appropriate for today's message, and can't maybe put a period on some of the things that we've talked about these past 6 weeks. I intended for this to be a one-sermon series, and so God had other plans, and that's why it's going on for so long. And the series that I called is How Should You Spend Your Money? And we talked about some things in great detail. And today's sermon is How to Keep Your Pockets Full. I had another title, but I thought this was a much better one, How to Keep Your Pockets Full. And from the book of Haggai, Chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the New Living Translation. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, we pray, ask that you would minister to our needs. Lord, it's obvious that you've been here in our presence this morning. And as we discuss this very important subject this morning, give us understanding, fill us with wisdom, direct our path that we could understand the principles and the truths that you outlined for us in your word. We thank you, Father, in advance for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You can leave that slide up there, Jim, all right? I want everybody to get a good dose of it, all right, before we move on. Dave Ramsey, as those of you who were here for the videos on Wednesday night, paraphrased this scripture. He probably wouldn't have known that, but when he said that many of us have too much month left at the end of our money. And so I think that you would see that would be a great paraphrase. The disappearance of money and wealth is as old as mankind. People have had it and lost it. I ran across something very interesting from a very uninteresting, this is secular information, and it's put out by, of all people, Dun & Bradstreet. And you all know who Dun & Bradstreet are. And it's, I won't read the whole thing, but I'll read enough of you to get a flavor for it. It says, being broke is a waste of life. The following is a list of 15 top principles for the rich. Number one, the broke think everything is too good to be true, while the rich think that getting a job sounds too bad to be true. That's interesting. The rich think getting a job is too bad to be true. Number two, broke people give up when things don't go their way. A few disappointments, and they are on to something else, saying things like, it wasn't for me. The rich work harder and become more determined when things go bad. And understand that you have to take the bad with the good in order to make it. Number three, broke people always have an excuse. Rich people say, my fault, and refuse to make excuses. Broke people think that not getting what they want is okay. Rich people are disgusted at the thought of not getting what they want and will do whatever it takes. Broke people, I love this one. Broke people always have to talk it over with their broke friends to make sure no one will make fun of them if they make a decision. Rich people think of themselves, think for themselves, and could care less what their broke friends think. I love that. That's good. Oh, broke people are never coachable or teachable. Rich people are always learning. Even when the money starts coming in, they never stop learning from those who were there first. It goes on, but I think you kind of get a feel for this this little report. Very interesting to me. Broke people complain a lot. Rich people are thankful that no one shot at them today. They didn't have to fight a war, and that they don't have a job. There's a lot I could say about that, but I think it pretty much speaks for itself that brokenness and richness is, above all things, a state of mind. You know? It's what you think about yourself and what you think about God. And we talked about quite a few things in previous sermons. One of the big reasons that we don't have any money is we don't make any plans. Just a complete lack of financial planning. And you think that by some strange lottery-winning event, you're going to win and you don't buy the lottery ticket, as that little story went that we read earlier. Have a mindset that embraces debt is normal. That's abnormal. You need to be abnormal in getting out of debt. And getting out of debt, by my definition, is you owe no man anything but to declare the gospel to him. And you say, Pastor, that's impossible. Well, as long as you think that, you will never be debt-free. There are countless thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people who have been in debt up over their proverbial ears, and were able to get out of it one day at a time. But it all starts with a change of mind, a change of heart. And the last thing we talked about last week is little or no giving. Just being chinchy with God. And it was, we talked about last week that the same measure you give is the measure that you receive. If you weren't here, I encourage you to either listen to that a sermon on the internet, or pick up one of the CDs in the back, because I think it'll be very, very helpful for you. So the last connection that I want to talk about today about your finances is a connection between your finances and you and the church of God. There is a connection between your finances and your commitment to the church. So I want us to look at some of the choices that you can make in the church. Churches that you can make in the church that will keep your pockets full, all right? And the first thing is, you choose to erect God's church. And let's look at Haggai chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. This is what the Lord God of heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up to the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Go up into the hills, bring back timber, and rebuild my house. In other words, get whatever resources you need to build the house of God. And in contemporary terms, we talk about the church. I've got a video that I want you to see. I have several videos to show you this morning about church. Jim, if you'll roll that video.
Do you go to church?
No, not usually.
No, I do not.
Not as much as I used to tell you the truth.
Did you used to go to church?
At one point in time, yeah, when I was little.
I go to church like Christmas, Easter.
I think that you can also still believe in God and not have
Whoa,
to go to
church. Whoa, we got the wrong
Why
video.
Why don't you go to church
That's
now?
Video.
Because I went to...
It's the Me Church video that I want to show. No? I don't think so. It does?
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service?
Turn the volume up a little bit.
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, look in the backyard. There's a pony. We have the deacons take care of the oil change for that dear, sweet lady. The kind of church that you attend is the kind of church that you're building. You know, you're building it. You're who you are, and what you do in the church is building that church. That is a great picture of a selfish church. What's in it for me? You know, how many times have we thought about the church? You know, what is the church doing for me? What about me? What about me? And we have this me attitude that the church has to do something for me. You know, is the church you're attending a church that's poor? Just has any lack of support? That's, you know, support from you. You know, physically and financially and mentally and spiritually. Is the church poor because of the actions that you bring to the church? The church is defined by the people who attend. And what we do in the church makes the complexion of the church. You know, if you take a bucket and you put a little bit of coloring in a bucket of water, a 5-gallon bucket of water, you won't see much of it. They might get a little taint of the color, but you won't see much of it. But if you take that same bucket and you put in a lot of color, it'll change the whole color of that bucket of water, and you'll see a difference. And it's the same way within church. You have a few people doing things, but it's not enough. You know, everybody has to pull the load. Just think of it as this is poor, and don't take this personal, but just think of it as a mule team pulling a wagon across the Death Valley. You know, all the mules need to pull in order to get that wagon across Death Valley. Don't take it personal. Don't go out here and say, I said you were mules. I didn't mean it that way. But I wanted you to get the picture that everybody has to pull, and everybody has to pull in the same direction. Or maybe a more contemporary, your Alaskan dog teams that you may have seen on your trip to Alaska, they all have to pull in the same direction in order to get it done. Or maybe it's a shrinking church. Anybody could get a witness with that. You know, a shrinking church, a lack of spiritual reproduction. One thing about churches that I know is you have two things to build a church. One is you need people to replace the people who leave, because that's always the course of events, people leave. And then you need new people added to that in order to make it grow. Well, what we've done, I think, and we can see very easily, is that we've not kept up with just normal attrition. That people have left and we have not fill the pews back up. They have more people here. I had a friend of mine who wanted to start a church, and he said the best kind of church, in fact, he's a former pastor. He's one that just threw in the towel and quit. He said he was going to start a new church, and the name of the church was going to be Come If You Want To. Said it'd be a lot easier. You know, that way I wouldn't have any expectations, and anybody who came wouldn't have any expectations. Of course, he started the church and nobody wants to come. That's what he started in his mind. Okay, God tells us to take a personal inventory. Look at what's happening. Look around and see what's happening in the church. And what's happening in the church is having a direct influence on your own personal life and your own personal finances. All right? Building the church. You know, I love that little video we showed. That's why I really wanted to get Jim to make sure we get the right one up there this morning, because I want to use that other one a little bit later. But it's the me mentality. And the problem in our life is in the direct result of our mentality, of what we want from the church instead of what we put into the church. I'm going to use a combination of words that probably you shouldn't do because a false heresy. Actually, those two words don't go together, but I wanted you to get the picture of it, that there's a heresy. Let me tell you what the heresy is. The heresy is this, that you can love God and serve God outside the church. That is a lie from hell itself. That is not true. There's a mentality of, well, we're going to have a house church. And what we mean is we don't want to have any authority, and we don't want to do any of the things that the Scriptures talk about that we should do as a church. God ordained the church. Now, you may not like it, and you may dream up some other reasons to do what you do, but the truth is it's in the church that Christ died for the church, and it's in the church where God moves. That's not to say he can't move outside, but other things or parachurch groups that support the local church. Now, you know, I draw the line in the sand about this one because I believe that I'm right from a scriptural standpoint that the church is important. It's important to God. It's important to us as individuals. The church is the centerpiece of the New Testament. It's the gathering together. Now, all the theologians in here, those who listen on the internet, would say, well, you're talking about the building. And no, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the assembling together of the people of God in one place called the church. They established churches in the New Testament. They set out the pattern. Paul told Timothy, go install leadership in that church. Put an elder in the church. Someone is responsible. Go read the book of Revelation. It talks about a symbolic picture that is defined for us. It talks about the seven candlesticks, which it says are the churches. It talks about the angels of the church who watch over it, who are the messengers or the pastors of the church. And it says that, you know, you see that. The letters that were written to churches. The church at Ephesus. The church at Laodicea. The church at Philippi. The church at Corinth. They were churches. They were assembled together, group of people, under the authority and the leadership of Almighty God. And God's divinely appointed authority within that church. It says that God put in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors / teachers. God put them in the church. The church is important. I think today we've gotten a bad attitude about church. We've kind of relegated it to, it's kind of a come if you want to mentality, but you don't really need it. I mean, who needs apostles and who needs evangelists and who needs prophets and teachers? I mean, who needs that? We'll just do our own thing. Well, you can do that, but that's not a church. And I don't believe you're in the right place. I believe you're under God's will when you're not involved in a local church. God calls men and women into leadership in the church and to do things. And there's responsibilities that go with that. Go read about elders in the church. People say, well, you know, we just kind of all get together and do our thing. Well, I guess maybe God made a mistake when he put these things called elders and deacons and pastors in the church. You know, maybe he was kidding. Maybe he wasn't serious. You know? And I'm telling you this because it's important that we realize that we have a responsibility before God to build the church. And I believe not building the church affects us individually. I think in the context of what we're talking about, and because of the scriptures that we're using out of the book of Haggai, it affects us financially. It has an impact on our finances. And you'll see that as we get through some more of this sermon. There were letters written to the church, as I mentioned to you. Who got persecuted in the New Testament? The churches were persecuted. It was the churches that were in trouble. When Paul went someplace, he went to the church. When he asked for help, he asked for help for another church. This whole concept of the church just permeates the New Testament. And the idea that the church isn't important is just not true. It's very, very, very important. And probably the most important reason is that God receives glory in the church. In the church. It's in the church doing what God's called us to do that we see the glory being raised to God. You know, there's an analogy that's used, and it talks about us being the body of Christ. And Paul says that, you know, the hand is important, and the foot is important, and the eye is important, and the ear is important, that all the pieces assembled together make something that is functional. And we all have a place. How cool would it be to put your ear on your foot instead of your head? Or I heard a comedian say one time that God should have put our mouth on the top of our head instead of in the front of it, because that way when you were in a hurry and you didn't have time to eat, you could put food in a hat and just put your hat on and you could feed yourself on through your hat. You know, all the things are there for a reason. You know, and notice that everything faces forward for the most part. The eyes are looking forward, the nose is looking forward, the mouth, the ears, you know, so we're going in a direction. In the same way with the church. We all have roles and we all have functions. And you can't say to one part, because I'm not that part, that you're not important. Let something happen to you. You ever have this happen to you? I used to, when I was in the computer business, more so than now, I used to deal with a lot of heavyweight paper, you know, that goes in printers and that. And what you don't know is that stuff is sharp. And it'll cut you. You won't bleed, but it'll cut you. And you won't even realize it until you know, say, what is that? And you lick your finger. Boy, that hurts. Or you wash your hands, and boy, it just stings, you know. I mean, you didn't think that finger was very important until something happened to it. You know? There was a movie a long time ago about a guy who was in World War II, and he had cut himself. And the premise of the story was, the movie line, was that he'd gotten captured by the Germans. They had drugged him. They put him in an environment where it made it look like the war had ended and that he had been in a coma because he had been hurt. And that, you know, it was all Americans around him. They told him where he was. And, you know, he was kind of getting oriented to all that. And they were trying to debrief him. And, of course, the Germans were trying to get military information out of him. And he was, you know, he thought something was weird. But he figured, well, you know, there's all these military Americans around him. But, of course, there were Germans and impersonating Americans. And he went to do something. And his finger hurt. And he looked down and he remembered that was that little cut that he had on his finger. And he realized that something was amiss. And the end of the story is that he figured it out and realized that it was a charade going on. The point of all that is little things mean a lot. And we're all very, very important in the body of Christ. And we all have a role and a function to, and God wants us to build His church. And we're invited by God to build His church. All right? You got that? All right, good. Let's go on to number two. You choose to embrace the mission of God's church. And let's look at verse 9 of chapter 1. You hoped for a rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Wow. That's interesting. You hoped for a harvest, but the harvest was poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Let me put a contemporary term for you. You thought you had a good job. You got your paycheck and you brought it home. And when you got it home, it just disappeared. And you wonder what happened to it. Think what happened to my money. How come I got more money at the end of the money than I thought I would have? Dave Ramsey said, why is that so? What's going on? I want you to see a video here. And by the way, this is no personal affront to anyone. When you see this video, don't take it personal unless you need to. Jim. Choose cruise ship or battleship. I'm not going to make any remarks. I've got a whole litany up I can make, but I just won't do it. I will restrain myself. The mission of the church is to broadcast the gospel to a lost and dying world. That is our mission. We may do a lot of other things. We may sing songs. We may feed the poor. We may help people along the way. But our number one mission is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And if we're not doing that, we won't prosper as a church, and you won't prosper as an individual. God says, I'll just blow it away. You expected a harvest, but you've been planting in the wrong place. God's cruise ship has a cross for a mast. If you want to cruise, we need to cruise on Christ's ship. God is directly involved in our finances, and He may be blowing it away. It may be disappearing because of your activity or lack of activity within the local church. Now, this is one of those things where it's uncomfortable. And I had to really pray about this before I even brought the subject up. And I just couldn't get away from it, this analogy that you see here in Haggai. And we're trying to close all the loopholes about what's wrong with our finances. And we've been talking about a lot of things and about giving to the church. But it's also more than that. It's the involvement in the church and the things that we're doing. There's no salvation apart from the church. And I don't believe there's any prosperity apart from the church. You can have all the money in the world and be a very unprosperous person. You know, money won't make you happy. And that's true. That's very true. Money will not make people happy. I know people have a lot of money and they're not happy at all. But there's no reason for you in the church not to have a lot of money. There's no reason for you to be poor. And I think we need to evaluate ourselves and evaluate our lives and what we're doing. You know, one of the things that, and some of this stuff is difficult for me to talk about. In the last several weeks, I talked about my own personal finances in ways that I would not normally say, but I wanted you to know that that the prosperity that I've enjoyed and Pat's enjoyed is in direct proportion to the giving that we've given to the work of the Lord. I don't take any credit for it other than the fact that He gave it to me and I gave it away. But there's another point that I want to make today, and that's the involvement in the local church. I love the local church. I've been going to churches. I found out what a church was about. I remember when I first got saved, and I was really turned off by churches. I felt that the church that I attended when I was a young boy had misled me and not told me the truth, and I really had a bad attitude about churches. I didn't want to be around churches. And then I got saved. And I thought I could be happy just reading my Bible that Jim Hickman had given me, or my first Bible, The Good News for Modern Man, in a paperback form. I didn't have the Old Testament. And I was reading that. And I was working for my brother-in-law at a convenience store, which I told you about, making $13 a day. Here I was, college education. I had experience in the computer industry that people died for. I couldn't get a job. There was nothing available for me except to sit in that little store, working the nighttime hours, reading my little New Testament. And a guy came in, and he saw me reading it. He said, "What are you reading there?" As he was buying his popcorn and candy or whatever he was getting, I said, "I'm reading the Bible." And he said, "Where do you go to church?" And I said, "I don't go to church." And I said it very proudly. And he said, "Well, why not?" And I said, "Because I don't know of a church that believes this Bible." And he said, "Mine does." I said, "Oh, yeah?" I said, "Prove it to me. You bring me something that shows me what your church believes, and I'll think about it." And he did. He came back. And he brought me a whole list of stuff with scriptures that his church believed. And it took me, I don't know how many hours to go through it, and I looked up every one of them. I said, "You know what? That church is following this book." And this is several weeks later. No. That was the next week, all right? It was the following week that I got up on Sunday morning, and we were staying with Pat's mother and dad because we were so broke I couldn't afford to stay in my own house. I didn't have a house. I was broke. I was eating their food, living in their bed. And I was 33 years old. What a disgrace that is. I got up. I put on a suit. And Pat said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to church." He said, "Church?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to church." And I got up and I left and I went to church. I came back about 2.5 hours later. And Pat said to me, "Where have you been?" I said, "I was in church." He said, "For 2 hours, 2.5 hours? I said, "I've never seen anything like this before. They got singing and music and preaching and all kinds of stuff." I said, "Man, that was fun." And Pat said, "Okay." Next Sunday rolled around. I got up, put my suit back on. Pat said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going back to church." I left, went to church. Came back, same scenario, "Where you been, what you been doing?" Third week came along, I got up to get dressed, same question, "Where are you going?" I said, "You got to figure it out now, baby, I'm going to church." He said, "Can I go with you?" I said, "Yeah, you can come with me." I brought her to church, first time she was there, she heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, came forward at an altar call, knelt down, and received Christ into her life, hadn't been the same since. And we got plugged into the local church. Now, here's some of the funny stuff to show you what a blank page I was. I was going on Sunday morning. People kept inviting me to go on Sunday night. And on Wednesday. No, Sunday night, I guess it was their real name. And finally, after several weeks of people really trying to get me to go on Sunday night, I just asked them, I said, why in heaven's name would I go to church on Sunday night to hear a sermon that I heard on Sunday morning? And they looked at me like, what a dumb rock you are. I said, no, we have a different sermon on Sunday night. I said, you get two sermons in one day? And they said, yeah. I started going to church on Sunday night. And then I found out they had a third sermon on Wednesday. So I became church twice on Sunday and once in the middle of the week. And when the church doors are open, I was there. The only time I didn't go to church is if I was traveling off on business. And if it was possible, I'd go to church somewhere else. And I've been doing that ever since 1972. I've been going to church. When the doors are open, I'm there. You'd think I'd come here because I'm the pastor. I'd come here if I wasn't the pastor. I'd be in church. You know why? It's important. Everything good that's happened to me has happened in the church. I met the best people in the world in the church. I prospered in the church. I found something to do in the church. I didn't even know I could do what I do. I got called to preach in the church. I get invited to teach in the church. I was asked to sing in the church one time. They don't let me sing. But the church, it may be for the glory of God, but it's for the good of Morris. I love the church. I mean, I don't kind of have an affection for it. I am passionate about the church. I love church. I look forward to the highlight of my week is getting up and going to church. I love being here. I love the people. I love the aroma. I love the feel. I love what happens in the church. I love to hear a good sermon. And I preach it myself. And I agree with most of it, as I tell you so many times. But I love it. I mean, I love it. And you know what drives me crazy? Is that people in the church don't love it. And you know how I know people don't love it? It's the way they treat it. You take care of things that you love. And you're involved in things that you love. You do things. Pat loves that baby. She's involved. She left. Worry about me. She's down where she loves something. She's involved. You love your job, you get involved in your job. You love your family, you're involved in your family. People say, I love the church, and they're not involved. Drives me crazy. Ask people to do something in church. Oh, well, I love this one. I'm not called to do that. Well, do it anyway. Just do it. It needs to be done. Somebody's got to do it. Just do it. Maybe God will call you to do it when you're doing it. I've done more stuff in the church that I shouldn't have done. I wasn't called to do it, but I just did it because somebody said it needed to be done. When I went to seminary, I spent over 2 years in the seminary. When I left that church, when I left the seminary, I expected God to call me to be the pastor of the first church of somewhere in the USA. I knew they were waiting for me. I know there was a great calling for that to be done. And I've said part of this with you before. Nobody called. I literally sat by the phone. I waited for it to ring. I used to check it to make sure the dial tone was there. Before we had cell phones, used to get a dial tone. You think I'm teasing you. I'm telling you God's truth. I used to check the phone to make sure it was working. Because I knew that somebody was going to call because me and God had a deal. I said, God, I will never ask anyone to let me preach anywhere. You've called me and I won't go out and promote it. You've called me to go, and I'll go wherever you send me. But I did remind him, God, you remember them 2 rotten years I spent in seminary? Duh. You know, I'm ready to roll. No phone. Finally, great words of Pat. She told me, what's the last word you heard from God? Some of you heard me say this before. I said, the last word I heard from God was to wait on Him. She said, well, why don't you enjoy the wait? Well, you know, the most enjoyable place for me is at the church. So I went to see my pastor. I said, Pastor, what do you need done at this church? And he said, well, we need somebody to teach a Sunday school class. If you do that, I said, I'm your man. I got involved, started teaching a Sunday school class, and I've been involved in the local church as much as I can be involved from that day to this day, doing whatever needed to be done. Doing stuff that I knew I shouldn't do. I've even, and I, You won't believe, Barbara, you might remember this. I even sang in a choir. What? You know how bad a choir has got to be to get me to sing in a choir? You know why I did it? Because it needed to be done. They needed choir members. They didn't have enough choir members. And I told Pat was in the choir. I said, I'm going to join the choir. She said, you're going to do what? I'm joining the choir. I didn't even know they had four parts in the thing, you know, basses and baritones and what's the other thing? The soprano? What's the one? The altos, yeah. I thought the altos was those things you buy to give you breath mints, you know. That's what I thought they were. I didn't know. But I sang in the choir. I sang in the choir for, I think, close to 2 years. I was so glad when I had enough members I could quit. Now, why did you do that, Morris? Because I love to sing? No. I did that because I love the church. And I want to do whatever needs to be done in the church. Now, I'm telling you this to tell you so you'll understand where I'm going. I believe the prosperity of my life has been because of my involvement in the local church. And you can't convince me otherwise. And this scripture that we're using, well, just verifies what I believe. Involved in the local church, doing what needed to be done. Nobody had to ask me to do anything. I was ready to roll. If they did ask me, I'd do it. I got so involved in the local church, all I do is, you know, I spent more time, well, let me rephrase that. I spent as much time in the church as the pastor spent in the church, and I had a full-time job to boot. I used to travel all over this nation in my business. And I took care of my family and all the other stuff I did. Why did I do that? Because I was called to be the pastor of the church? No! I was a pew warmer just like you. I didn't even, they finally gave me a title. You know what they made me? The most useless person in a church. They figured I needed a title, so they made me the vice president of the church. You know what the vice president of a church does in a 401 corporation, C corporation? Nothing! Zero nothing. I used to love it because they would re-elect me every year and I'd give a real speech. You know, I'd give a campaign speech, an acceptance speech. I even gave myself raises. You know, just like I do here. I'd always give myself a raise. Because I loved it. I loved being a part of the church and being involved in the church. And I'm telling you, my prosperity is because of that. Did I earn it? Did I do it for? I didn't do it for any other reason. I just loved it. I love the church, and because the good things that have happened to me in the church. I honored the pastor. I honored the leadership. I honored the goal of the church. I went places in the church that I didn't want the church to go, but I honored the pastor of the church and his vision for the church, and I did what he said to do. I lost friends. I lost dear friends. I got people that were close to me as you can get, and I lost those friends because they were opposed to the pastor, and I would not touch God's anointing. I wouldn't do it. I just would not do it. My rule of thumb is, if you don't like the church and you don't like the message of the pastor, find another church. You know? If you can't be a part of the solution, don't be a part of the problem. That's scary to make that statement in the church as much as we're dwindling. I think we need to follow the words. You know, we mentioned Ted Kennedy dying. We need to follow the words of his brother John in the great inaugural speech that he made. Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. Amen? All right. Third thing I want to talk about is you choose to embrace God's church. Let's look at the last part of verse 9, chapter 1. I blew it away. Why? You know, I didn't put this in here, by the way. This wasn't penciled in by the scribe Morris. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of heaven's armies, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. You've got to deal with that scripture. You've got to deal with that scripture. And look at yourself. Take an inventory, look at what's happening, and ask yourself this question. Am I busy building my own house, my own life, and neglecting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? You've got to answer that question. That hurts. But there it is, in black and white. When I found this passage of Scripture, and I thought, I never saw this before. Who put this in here? And by the way, go look up any translation you want. I just like the way it words it in the New Living Translation. It says the same thing, no matter what translation you pick up. It all says the same thing. Use different words, the same message. I want you to see this video about the church and what people think of the church.
Do you go to church?
No, not usually.
No, I do not.
Not as much as I used to tell you the truth.
Did you used to go to church?
At one point in time, yeah, when I was little.
I go to church like Christmas, Easter.
I think that you can also still believe in God and not have to go to church.
Why don't you go to church now?
Because I went to church probably too much when I was a kid.
Why don't you go to church?
I'm usually hungover on Sundays.
I work on Sundays. I don't have time.
What's keeping you from going now?
Just not my thing.
I believe in more of like a spiritual one-on-one relationship with God.
There's not really a religion that I found that I really felt connected to.
I don't feel like it really gives me a lot in this day and age. I have too many the worries. It's kind of a time commitment as well.
For me, like, I think it just works better just to do my own kind of thing.
I find God's church very hypocritical. So therefore, I find God hypocritical at the same time.
I'm not saying it doesn't serve other people's needs, but it doesn't serve mine.
Expectations people don't live up to, and it's just kind of a crowd that I usually don't like to be around.
Do you know a lot of people who go to church?
Yes.
Does it look like that makes a difference in their lives?
No.
Do you think church is relevant today?
It depends, I think.
I believe it is. More, I think for older people and more mature people, actually.
Well, actually, the churches that I've gone to, they normally don't address topics that are dealing directly with me.
Sometimes I go to church and I feel like it's not something I can relate to.
And then some of the times when they address topics that do deal with things that I encounter in everyday life, they just kind of touch on it and move on to the next thing.
What the Bible's taught, I believe that it can be worked into today's issues in the world around us.
Do you think there's anything a church could do to make itself more relevant to you?
That's a good question.
I have no idea. I don't think I'd go anyway.
Do you believe that there's anything a church could do to make itself relevant to you?
Not really. I don't feel like you have to go to church to be a good person. Sort of where I stand on that.
Just being more flexible and willing to understand that people are people and we do make mistakes, and that's just the way it is. There shouldn't be any judgment. It should just be that support group.
Somehow try to make things a little bit more adaptable and adapt to today's needs and today's, I guess, apprehensions for such an unsteady and scary world that we live in.
Do you go to church?
Yes, I do.
Why do you believe it's important to go to church?
It's changed my life completely. From someone who was hopeless, I had no idea about purpose. Was desperate to know what my destiny and purpose was, and it's brought me to a place where I'm growing every day. Church has been something that I may not even be alive today if it wasn't for church.
A scary video. That's the world. That's people living in the world without God and without hope. And we have the message of hope to bring. That's what God's ordained that we should do. People join other people because they're having fun. You know one of the reasons people like to go on cruises? Is people have fun. Other people are having fun. It's a joy. Everybody's in a good mood. From the crew down to the other passengers. They're having fun. It's a good thing to do. My people go to join organizations because they're fun. There's something good happening. They want to be there. People like to be with people who are having fun. Something's happening. There's a reason to be there. These folks aren't going to church because they don't see any reason for it. One gal, they said, do you know anybody who goes to church? I think they asked her, and she said, yeah. I said, does it make a difference in their life? She said, no. What's wrong? Is your church making a difference in your life? Are you different? Are you living? Are you serving Christ differently? You know, it's okay to love Christ and love the church. It's okay to do that. In fact, I think that's normal. I think that's the right thing to be. The right thing to do. It's okay to love Christ and love the church and love the people of the church. I think that's the right thing to do, to care about one another, to look after one another, to make it an environment that people want to belong to. I want to go to that church because you're having so much fun there. People want to be where fun is happening. What do you bring to the church? Are you fasting for the church? Are you fast for this church? Do you deny yourself? You don't wait for me to call a fast. You don't need me to do it. You can do it yourself. You say, Father, I love our church so much, and things are not going right. It looks like things are just falling apart before our very eyes. I'm going on a fast. I'm going to fast for a day, or 3 days, or a week. Or I'm not going to eat again until there's a change in the church. I wouldn't recommend that one. Unless you really plan on doing something, God told you to do it. Are you praying for the services? Do you pray for these services? Do you just show up? Do you take any time at all? Could you just give me a God bless the services before you leave the house? God help Pastor Morris. Give him the strength he needs, the wisdom he needs, the anointing he needs. Help him. Pray for me during the week that I'll have God's message for you. That's a word from God, not a word from me. You don't need to hear me. I give you enough of my opinions. Just, I'm like Paul. I think I got God's mind on this, but I don't know. It's my opinion. But then I find God's word. You're praying for the church. Praying for the other believers. Look around and see who's not here. You're praying for them. Caring about them. You bringing anybody to church? Yeah, but do you make it a project to find somebody to bring to church? Say, I'm going to bring somebody to church. I don't care if I got to go get them out of the gutter someplace and just dress them up if they need dressing, or I'm just going to bring them there where they are, bring them to church. I appreciate Denise. Drove all the way down to New Orleans to bring that gal here to church services. That's going beyond the call. I don't want to just pick you out, Denise, but I think that was admirable. She told me that another lady wants to come sit. She knows how to sing, but she's got to go to New Orleans to get her. How crazy is that? The drive to New Orleans. Maybe we ought to move the church to New Orleans. We got the Thursday group down there bringing the church there. When I got involved in the church, I brought so many people to church. I invited everybody to church. Now people expect it, so they don't pay much attention to it. Well, you're the pastor of church where people go. No, I invited everybody. If I met anybody, it didn't take me long. I talked to them about Jesus and the church. I found those two things inseparable. From the church. I had a Bible study in my home for many years, and the Bible study had more people than we got in this building right now. I had up to 40 or 50 people in my house. People said, people ask me, well, you need to start a church. I said, God didn't tell me to start a church. Well, you know, this would make a great church. So I got a great church. I don't need a church. See, this is a Bible study. I don't need a church. You know what happened? One day the pastor did a survey. I think he was sorry he ever asked a survey. He asked, he did a survey. How many of you people are here because you went to Brother San Angelo's Bible study? About 70% of the congregation raised their hand. Went to a Bible study and ended up in church. You know what? I invited them to church. I didn't even invite them to hear me preach. They had to wait on Friday to hear me teach. Invited. I mean, just purpose in your heart. Can you just do this? Can you pray this one prayer? God, give me somebody to bring to church this next year. That'll stick. And the pastor won't run them away. We need to. We need to be building a church. Get ready now. This is going to hurt. Just look around. Hey, how much people love the church coming here so late? It's a shame. You ought to be ashamed of yourself coming to church late. Few fits wear it. Services start at 10 o'clock. Not 10:10, not 10:15, not 10:30, not 10:45, not 11 o'clock. You ought to be at church time. If I can get here, you can get here. There ain't no excuses. You know what an excuse is? Excuse is your rationale for failure. You want me to read the thing about poor, broke people and rich people again? Making excuses? Try going to your doctor and being late. Try going to the IRS being late. Try going to your job being late. Oh, well, it's just a church and it's Sunday and I need to sleep in and, you know, and I'm tired and it takes me so long to get dressed. Well, don't get dressed. Just come in your jammies. I don't care. Wouldn't bother me a bit. In my own family, my wife doesn't like to get here early. I say, that's why God created two automobiles. We used to fight about going to church on time. She used to give me the old excuse. So, well, the reason it takes me long to get dressed is I have to slow down for the curves. I said, well, that's why we got two automobiles, darling. I ain't slowing down for nothing. And I went to church on my own. Because I just wanted to be there early. I want to get there and see what's going on. I want to be a part of the solution. I want to help. I want to do something. I want to be there. Be with God's people. Empty chairs. I'm so tired of looking at these chairs. I hate these chairs. They stare at me every week. And I picked them out. I didn't know I was going to have to look at them. I like to look at chairs with people in them. They have a little color. Got 100 chairs, 101 chairs in this building. It takes funerals and weddings to fill this place up. I don't want you to die to fill the church up. So, well, you know, God wants us to be a little church. I don't believe that in a million years. I think a healthy church grows. Healthy people grow. Izzy, my granddaughter's growing. She's puffing up. They're beating her. It's a natural thing to grow. Natural thing to reproduce. I think it's a natural thing for a church. Is a church going to be 300 people? Man, I used to think of 1,000. Then I dropped my just looking for a couple of hundred. Man, I'd be glad to get 80. I wouldn't be satisfied. Believe me, I wouldn't. You know me, I wouldn't be. What about worship? Jim works countless hours putting together what we have here on Sunday morning for worship. They're not songs to sing. They're worship to participate in. You just kind of stroll in, hadn't been praying, hadn't been fasting, hadn't been thinking about church. Just stroll in, and then you just get there. Oh, well, there we go, Rock of Ages, wait for me. All right, is that going to be over? I hope the pastor didn't preach too long. Good night, it's quarter. It's 25 minutes after 12. And you know why? Because my watch says it is 20 minutes after 11. They got the wrong time on my watch. I thought I had plenty of time. You know what the problem is? Come on now, don't get mad at me. I'm going to empty the church. With the ones that are left are going to love me and love God and love the church, all right? Empty hearts. Hearts filled with everything but Jesus. You didn't take an inventory of yourself. What do you really love? You love your husband, you love your wife, you spend time with him, you're involved in him. You love your children, you're involved in him. Or you love the church. Or you're too busy. Back up that scripture. I want to read that again. I blew it away. Talk about your prosperity. Why? Because my house lies in ruins. And boy, I tell you what, if there's one in the church that's in ruins right now, just look around, folks. Just take a look at this church. We're in trouble. It says the Lord of heaven's army, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. Boy, what an indictment that is against us as a body of believers. Where's our love? Where's our concern for the church? I believe in the church. I've told you that. I love this church. I love the people in this church. I spend my life. My life rotates around this church. But it's been that way forever. It's not because I'm the pastor. And when I relate it to Christ in my own personal life, and I look at my life and say, man, why am I prospered so much. I never made a lot of money. I'm not a great investor. So you know what a great investor I am. God encouraged me. You know, I really felt, I've been praying about it, I had some money in the stock market. And, you know, I'm worried about the stock market. And I felt, you know, God talking to me just to take half of it out. I sold half of it. The market's gone up about 1,000 points. No, I'm not that smart. I felt I had the mind of the Lord. At least I still got the money. I didn't lose it. I'm not brilliant. But I fell in love with Jesus Christ and His church and His people. And my life is set on being around you. So I rotate. You're my universe. And I'm right in the middle of you, and I love every moment of it. People say to me sometimes, you're in a hospital or they're sick or they got a problem. Well, I didn't call you, Pastor, because I didn't want to bother you. What I live for. What I breathe for. It's what I've been called to do by God. Be a part of your life. You're never imposing on me. Oh, sure, you call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. It better be a good reason. That's because you just want to talk to me. But I love it. And I love to see you happy. I love to see you prosper. I want to see you prospering. In the context of finances, I want to see you prosper. And I believe that some of the reasons that we talked about in these last weeks are a part of the reason why in our own personal lives we're in debt, we don't have any money, we have any direction, everything we do just turns to rust, we make something, we bring it home and it disappears. I think we've got good food here, friends. Good food to sit down and chew on and think about. As a family, you ought to go home and think about this. They say, down at the seminary, and one thing you ought to do is you ought to give people something to do. So I thought about, what could I give you to do that I thought you could do? Come here, Jack the Bear. Come here, George. I want you all to pass these out. I planned on more people coming, so we're going to save these for the other ones, all right? Now, I need to tell you before I go any further, the church is not in financial trouble. We got money. We're paying our bills. We got money in the bank. It's not about money. It's not about me. This is all about you. And I've made out a little commitment for you. It says, my commitment to increase giving, September 30th, 2009, beginning the first week in September 2009 and continuing for a minimum of 6 months, I promise to do one of the following. Number one, tithe 10% of my income to New Beginnings Church. I want you to do it. If not tithe, I want you to do it. Or, since I already tithe, I will increase my giving by 10% over my tithe. So if you're giving $100, give $110. Hey, you're not limited. You can give 20% more. You can give a double tithe. You know, whatever you want to do, that's fine. But I want you to do that. And I want you to sign it. Husband and wife. Each get one. I want you to sign it and date it. And right above that it says, sign this and put it in a safe place. It's supposed to be a safe place, but I think I was prophetically saying in a safe place. I want you to keep it because the next things are important. My net worth as of September the 1st, 2009 is, I want you to find out what your net worth is. You should come here Wednesday night and I'll show you how to find out what your net worth is, all right? And I want you to write it down. And then, I want you to wait 6 months, and my net worth as of March the 1st, 2010 is, and I want you to write down what your net worth is in 6 months. My net worth increased for this period by, and see what the bottom line is. See what you increase. But here's what it's going to take. You increased your giving. You increased your building of the church. You increased your love for the Lord. You do all the things we've been talking about the last 5 or 6 weeks. Not just giving and that's it. I mean the whole enchilada, as they say. You've got to eat everything on the plate. A little steak, you have to eat a little beans, you have to eat a little cabbage or spinach, which I hate, you know. All the things, and do it all. And let's see what happens. They might say, Oh, I'm a pastor. I don't want to do this. Let's fast. We got to do some fasting too, you know. Let's go on a cruise. Do something else, but don't mess up my money. You want me to give money? I can't afford to give. I think that was sermon number 3. Go listen to that one again. If I can't afford to give. And let's see what happens in 6 months. If your net worth decreased, I want you to set up an appointment and come see me. I want to find out why. Something's wrong. And I want to find out what it is. I want to help you find out what it is. Say, well, the church is not all about money. Well, if you've been around here for a while, you know it's not all about money. But this is about you. This is about you. You don't turn this into me. I don't want it back. It's not. I don't even care what you put on it. Other than the fact that I just want to ask, I'm going to ask you to do this. But I'm going to tell you right now. This is a group called the church. And I'm not giving you options. I'm not asking you if you want to participate. I'm saying this is something, as a pastor of the church, and you're my responsibility. I believe this will help you, and I want you to do this, all right? I'm not very seldom I ever do this, but I want you to do this, and let's see what happens. If you end up broke in 6 months, you let me know. I'll give you some food. But if you end up in 6 months making more money, I want to see those tithes increase, all right? And I'm not going to be running every week to see what you're giving. I don't look at it now. Barbara can tell you. I don't leave, Judy, I don't look at it. Every once in a while, I look at it just to make sure everything's the way it's supposed to be. But this will help you. Okay? I didn't mean to keep you this long, but I wanted to finish this up. I didn't want to put this off for another week because beginning next week, we're going to start a new series. We'll still keep this on the forefront of our minds, and if you got any questions about it, you can ask me about it. But next week we're going to start a series called Becoming a Person of Influence, the story of Moses. And the first sermon, hopefully, is going to be about how you can be a person of influence when your life started off on the wrong side of the track. It had nothing going for you. That's where Moses started off. The wrong side of the track, living with people that weren't even his parents raised him. People wanted to kill him. What a way to start life. Amen? Okay.